want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you today, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program on this marvelous Monday. Pray that you are having a great, great day. I hope that your weekend was refreshing. And this is a leap year, so this coming week we get an extra day on the calendar. Now that's bad news if you have more month than money. That just makes it a little bit farther. But if you are one of those people that likes to have an opportunity to catch up some way, if you just don't want March to get here this early, this year helps you out a little bit. We get that extra day that comes once every 4 years. So if nothing else, on February the 29th, just go outside and give yourself a great big jump and say, okay, now it truly is a leap year. I want to say, don't ask me where this stuff comes from, folks. I get groaners at church all the time. I want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you have electrical issues, they're the people to call. I was out visiting some relatives, and they had some electrical issues. Some of them I was able to resolve, and some of them I said, you know what, you're going to need to call an electrician for that. And if you have those type of issues that are going on, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538 will get you in touch with the wonderful folks at Wyrick Air, Weirich, 321-632-9538. If it's not electrical, if you've got air conditioning or heating issues, they work on those as well. And so right now, you know, this time of year, they can get all sorts of calls. If it's hot one day, they can get air conditioning calls, and then the next day it can be cold, and, you know, they're getting calls to go out and take a look at heaters. But I do know this. You don't want a compromised electrical system. That's not good. Don't just ignore it. I can tell you that ignoring electrical issues never causes them to go away. You and I, we have to be proactive about that. Give the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric a call. They will come out, treat you fairly, and get you up and running, and you can sleep assured at night that everything is well taken care of. 321-632-9538. So, today I'm going to take you to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The book of Judges, chapter 6. And we're going to begin to talk about another aspect in which God delivers. We've talked about that God delivers. He delivers by his own actions. We've talked about he delivers by delivering us the Ten Commandments so that we know what to avoid. He is proactive about that. We'll talk a little bit later about another aspect that he delivers us from, or he uses to deliver us. But today I want to talk to you about the fact that he utilizes and uses people to bring deliverance to other people. And he intends for you and I to be agents to bring deliverance to other people. I've got this message that I'm working on, and I've got multiple messages that I'm working on. And I was just telling Paul here that over the past couple of weeks anyway, I've been in a number of different intensive care units. Now, I hadn't had to visit anyone in an intensive care unit for several months anyway, and before that it was a few years. And all of a sudden, I'm in three different hospitals and three different intensive care units, and in a matter of 8 days. And it's gone up since then. You know, it's up to four now. And I don't like having to go into those intensive care units. Not because I'm afraid to go in there. I just don't like seeing people that are in there who are that precarious in their health. But I do know this, that once they're there, they receive extremely focused care, and there are people that are watching everything that is going on to bring them back from that precarious position to a position of health and vitality. But I was in this one hospital, and at this hospital, I had never been in that area of the hospital before. It's not one here in Brevard County. Not only that, there was construction that was going on. And so the person at the information desk, I identified myself, told them who I was looking for. And they said, "Have you been to this area of the hospital before?" And I said, "No, I haven't." "Have you been here since the construction was going on?" I said, "No, I haven't." And so they began to give me step-by-step instructions on how to get from where I was to where I needed to be. And so I paid close attention, and I walked in obedience to the instruction that I was given, and then I came to that first intersection where I was supposed to, there was some ambiguity about how, you know, the path was described, and I got there, and I started looking for what this person would have identified with terminology that they would have been very familiar with. And that's when all of a sudden I discovered that I had the look. And so I'm working on this message called I've Got the Look. And there was an employee in the hospital who looked at me and saw that deer in headlights type look, that uncertainty. Okay, which one of these things is that person describing? You know, there was a time I said, "Hey, do you see that tree over there?" And they said, "Which tree?" I said, "That tree." And they said, "Well, there are lots and lots of trees over there." And I said, "Well, the tree that I'm looking at, that's the tree." Many times we have understanding of what we're talking about, but that other person might see some things that we don't see. And so there were several opportunities along the way of my journey that I was thankful that there was a person that was there who was able to deliver me to my next step in the journey that I was going on. So I'm going to be preaching a message that's titled "I've Got the Look," and hopefully we will position ourselves as a church to be more helpful to those that we come in contact with. God uses people. He didn't only use Moses. He uses people. He wants to use you. So I want to take you to the book of Judges, and we're going to look at verse number 1. And it says, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds, which are in the mountains. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up, also Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey, for they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave your land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God, do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. So I'm going to stop the reading there. Let me read one more verse. Verse number 23. Then the Lord said to him, Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, The Lord is Peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah in the Abiezrites. So here the children of Israel find themselves under judgment. They find themselves being impoverished because of the oppression of the enemies that are coming in. And if they weren't there to destroy them militarily, they were there to attack them in such a way that they had no sustenance, no food with which they could sustain themselves. And they would gain victory simply because the people would starve. And I want you to understand that that does not line up with the blessings that God had commanded the children of Israel would experience if they walked in obedience. The truth of the matter was, the children of Israel, now this takes place over quite a span of time. Whenever you read the book of Judges, you can read it pretty quickly, but you've got to realize that you are covering quite a time span there. Hundreds of years are going on, and you can read it in about an hour. Sometimes we lose sight of the timeline perspective in God's word. So it's not so flippant that it happens today and then the next day they say, well, you know what, we're going to go do whatever we want to do. It takes sometimes decades for that spiritual condition to manifest itself. God says the reason that you are in the predicament that you're in at this point in time is because you have not walked in obedience. He sent them a prophet to let them know. And when the angel comes to Gideon, there's an actual idol that the children of Manasseh are worshiping. And when Gideon rises up and destroys that thing so that he can be positioned to be a deliverer for God's people, they want to go and defend their idol. And Gideon's dad comes along and says, look, if that God can't defend himself, He's not much of a God. And, you know, so Gideon becomes emboldened. He does take a stand for righteousness. But I want to tell you something about Gideon. Gideon wasn't perfect. Gideon didn't have a whole lot of self-confidence. Gideon had a whole lot of reasons why God couldn't use him. It was the size of his tribe, the size of his clan inside of his tribe, the size of his household, inside the size of his clan. He had a whole lot of reasons. He had a whole lot of doubt. And God addressed him not as the condition that he was already in, but he addressed him as a mighty man of valor, which God was going to make him. And so I like it when I read this story, because there are sometimes we have questions and God just completely ignores those questions and says, you know what? That's irrelevant. What I want you to know is you have enough inside of you to accomplish the task. It is frightening how few people will actually share the love of Jesus with other people. And they're afraid of public speaking. They don't feel like they're qualified spiritually. They don't feel like they're qualified intellectually. They don't feel qualified enough in the Word. And in the meantime, we've got people who are dying and going into eternity apart from Jesus. And if you've heard half a dozen sermons, you've probably heard enough Word to be able to share your testimony with someone. If you've been forgiven of your sins, if your life has been transformed, then you have enough experience to be able to say, this is what I've heard, this is what I've seen, this is what I've experienced, and I believe that what God has done for me, He will be able to do for you. So today we're going to focus a little bit on this unqualified deliverer in his own eyes, but qualified in God's eyes. Moses did not feel qualified. And God said, look, who gave you your tongue? I gave you the ability to speak. And so God ended up making him a person who was mighty in word and actions, to the point that he controlled the agenda with Pharaoh. Pharaoh wasn't controlling the agenda. Gideon said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to need a sign. I'm going to need to put out a fleece. And so there are a lot of people who, they've heard this story enough, and they say, well, I'm going to wait for a sign of confirmation. I want you to know that the fleece wasn't a sign of faith. It was evidence of Gideon's doubt. And then when God did answer his fleece one direction, he said, okay, I'm going to need to ask you to do this one more time, and I want you to do the reverse this time. One time the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. One time the ground was dry and the fleece was wet. And you would think that after all of that, Gideon would say, you know what, we're going to go. Well, I will tell you this, that Gideon sends out the rallying cry, and he gets thousands of people who come and say, okay, we are sick and tired of the oppression, we are tired of the poverty, and we are ready to go and deal with the enemy so that we can get back to experiencing the blessings of obedience that God has promised to us. And God comes to Gideon. Now, I don't know about you, but this one would have caused some faith, because I'm the type of person that if I'm going to go and do conflict, I want the biggest victory with the least amount of risk that I can get. So I send everything. I want to send it all. We're not going to have this battle's going to be touch and go. I want domination. That's just the way that I like. I want it to be over as quickly and completely as it can be. And Gideon gets told, you've got too many soldiers. You've got too many people going. And so I need you to go and thin it out. And, you know, you might think, well, we'll thin it out a little bit. It gets thinned out all the way down to 300. Now, in all of this that is going on, I want to remind you that Gideon had realized that God was his peace. He was Jehovah Shalom. And he says, he is the Lord of peace. God wants to give you a peace that will prevail over the anxiety that the enemy might cause in your life. He wants to give you a peace that will replace the doubt that you have in your own ability. He wants to give you an assurance, a wholeness of his presence. One of the things that I was that I've got in my notes here about God is in his ability to deliver is that God walks in the midst of our camp to deliver us. He walks in our midst to give our enemies over to us, and he walks in our midst and he wants us to live a holy life. We don't want to do anything or have anything that would marginalize our relationship with God. Okay? And so we make a mistake whenever we put God on the tangent of our society when he wants to be the central focus. It is not just about the military might. It is not just about the economy. It is not just about the healing that we have in our family. It's about the presence of God. And so Gideon walks in all of this, and the time comes, and it's in Judges chapter 7 that we see this. And let me just get over there and find it. And verse number 9. Gideon is still having doubt. Book of Judges, chapter 7, verse number 9. And it happened on the same night that the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp into your hand." Then he divided the 300. Let me just tell you what happened. God dealt with Gideon, who was going to be the deliverer, and he began to speak to him that God was so powerful that he was able to overcome Gideon's inadequacies to the point that victory was going to be assured. I will also tell you this, that Gideon, when he was facing the enemy, that God was speaking to the enemy as well to prepare them for the fact that their current status was getting ready to change, and it was getting ready to change for the negative. Gideon had a lot of doubts and things like that, but when he finally heard that the camp was talking about him and they were expecting Gideon to be the deliverer of the people of Israel, that he said, "We're going to go." And they followed the strategy God told them, and they experienced the victory. Now, The reason I'm telling you this story is verse number 24. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb. They killed Oreb and at the rock of Oreb, and Zeeb they killed at the winepress of Zeeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. Now the men of Ephraim said to him, why have you done this to us by not calling us when you went to fight with the Midianites? And they reprimanded him sharply. So he said, what have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? So, there were some people, they were Ephraimites. Remember that for what we're getting ready to talk about tomorrow. Okay. Everybody focuses on Gideon. They miss about this tendency that the Ephraimites had, which became what the 10 northern tribes were known as. There was the tribe of Judah that, ended up identifying Judah and Benjamin, and then everything else identified as Ephraim or Israel. And there were people there who did not like Gideon's process for deliverance. I want to encourage you that if God wants to deliver me, I don't want to be guilty of complaining about the process that he uses. If he, you know, whatever technique he uses to heal me is perfectly okay with me. It's perfectly fine with me. But the Ephraimites didn't like the process that the deliverer was using, and they rose up against him. And Gideon said, you know what? You actually captured and destroyed the kings. And he tried to appease the Ephraimites and saying, you know what? You know, what I've done pales in comparison to what you do. I want you to know that we'll never gain the ultimate victory in relationships if we refuse to address the core problem. If all we do is try and appease and tap out the fire while it's right now, and we don't do anything about the fuel for the fire, pretty soon that fire is going to spark back up. We'll talk more tomorrow about another plan, and we'll deal with that once and for all. But I will tell you this today. God is able to use you to bring victory to someone else. Share your testimony. God
bless
you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.